Lifeline with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello. I just drank a glass of water and it got caught in my throat. Excuse me. Hold on a minute. Okay, here I am again. I hope my voice is more of a gargle than a voice. No, less than a gargle. The water got stuck in my throat right in the middle of the show. I'm hanging on to Roy, and I'm Roy too. Are you there, Roy? I'm going to give you 5 more minutes.
Yeah. I appreciate this, yes. And I want to ask you, I kind of felt like she was looking down her nose at me tonight.
Of course,
It's not her. It's the thing in her that's...
Of course.
That's, if anything, is looking down. It's almost like she was... How you spelled it out. It's exactly how you spelled it out. I just felt like she was kind of looking down her nose at me. Not that
absolutely.
That bothered me. I could just see it, though.
But it's a devil. It's a demon. Whatever you want to call it, it isn't her. And she needs to be deprived of it. You need to be St. George and dealing with the dragon in there.
Wow.
And that's you mustn't pay it to the her. She can't help it. She doesn't know what she's doing.
She's driven. That's what I need to hear from you.
Jesus said it. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, and he's putting nails in his hands and feet. They really didn't know what they're doing.
I believe that it's not her doing this.
Right.
But I'm starting to see that. I'm looking back now. I wish I saw this a few years back, but we had to, like, go through this, I guess, the arguments to get to this point.
Yes, of course. This is marriage. That's what marriage is all about, fight. No, but you have to have a good fight.
Yeah.
There's such a thing as a good fight.
I'm following that.
Because if you can't be eaten, see, this is what happens. She's hungry. She wants to eat your life away. And she'll do it to the kids, too. When she's finished with you, it'll be another husband and still the kids.
But you see, she sees none of this.
I know, but the thing is, what you need to understand as a man.
She sees none of this.
I understand.
What you're describing.
Yeah, she doesn't have to. But she has to see it in you. What she has to meet, the darkness in there, has to meet the brightness of your ability, your God-given ability to know that you cannot respond to two masters. You cannot respond to her with anger and expect love to come through you from God.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, she will eventually get exhausted, and your children too, exhausted and give in and say, I don't know what came over me. And then she give you a little hug and it'll be all over. And then it happens again. And it happens again and again, but less and less and less. And pretty soon, if you're fortunate, you end up as Adam and your wife is Eve, but she's your daughter and not your wife. And you walk off into the sunset or sunrise. See, that's where it should be. You stop being a husband and you start being a dad. And leave the sex alone.
Yeah.
You don't have sex with that kind of woman.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yes. And don't play with yourself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
very interesting.
I needed
to see some things confirmed, and that's why I called you, because...
I'll give you one more thing.
It's almost like I didn't have to call you,
no.
But it's very helpful that I did.
I'm glad you do, but I'll just give you one more thing, and to make it very clear, when it happens, you have to look at it this way. If she is not repentant, if she is mean through and through, she's going to give you a hard time, but she will die trying. And it shouldn't make any difference to you. If she becomes a better person, that works for you. And if she drops dead and runs away, that's good for you too. You can't lose. And she cannot win. But she only wins when she sees the strength of you that's good. And admits to it and gives herself to the good, which is all women want. That's all they want. See it?
Interesting. So if you give in... they don't really, really, really get what they want. You're starving them.
You're starving the demon so that you can discover who your wife is.
Right.
Otherwise, you're feeding the demon, and you won't even know who she is anymore. Your big responsibility, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? Nice talking to you, Roy. 800-866-8883. I dare you to call me. Okay. I'm not bad.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, in the last 5 minutes and the last 10 minutes before the end of the program, first hour, which will be repeated after this hour, I was talking to Roy, and Roy was talking to himself. Roy. Just another Roy. And we spoke about, or he spoke to me about, the difficulty has being reasonable with a woman who's not reasonable. And then you say, well, what is reason? Well, shut up. If you don't know what reason is, how can I tell you? How would you know what I tell you was true? Stupid idiot. Can't you see how the thought comes in your mind? Talking to a man who had an unreasonable wife, and he's trying to talk reason with him. And it's listened to me, I was listening to him, and he was reasonable. He's asking reasonable questions. How to stay reasonable. And never mind if the person doesn't like your reason, and is difficult, and is offended by the reason, and by who you are. Meaning, you're better than they are. And you better be better than they are, because they eat chips for dinner. Especially when you're married. Don't think marriage is fun. It's dangerous to your health. It's dangerous to your mind. It's dangerous to your life. It's dangerous to your children. And so, but I talk to the men, and the men that call me, and the man that just spoke to me, he had a difficult wife. Now, we don't know whether she's going to be difficult forever. Just enjoy eating you and intimidating you. And being totally unreasonable and turning your children against you. See, it's there everywhere. You're listening to it, you probably have it in your house. And it could be reversed. It could be the man acting the woman's part and the man trying to reason with him. So it applies to you, dear lady. And that is how it works. Now, what I said is when you are a reasonable person, you dare not lose reason, intuitive reason, the kind of reason that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about. You see, but you do not perceive. That's another piece missing. The Pharisees were just animals, intellectual animals. That's where they were. And he called them all kinds of names. You whitewashed bones, you so-and-sos and so-and-sos. And so he accused them of two things. It was you hear, but you don't understand. And you perceive, but you don't perceive. There's another level of seeing, which is called perception, which animals cannot have. And perception is God-bound. It comes through you as a gift of, I understand this. How is it nobody understands this? So you're married, or you have a relationship, a partnership, and you have someone who does not understand that and is filled with anger and snobbery and looking down their nose at you. And you have to live with those people all around you. Some of them are nice, some of them not, but most not. And so you have to learn not to react and, if you'll pardon the expression, piss them off. In other words, when they start to try to demoralize you and your children, maybe your wife is confusing the kids, you stop. You get between the kids, or your husband does it. You get between the kids and the husband, and you stay calm. If you want to do, you want to upset the kids, if you want to demoralize them, you do it to me. That's what you do. I said, you do whatever you done to me, but you're not going to do it to them. And I said, or you may not say many words, you just stand in front of them. Wordless, confident, fearless. That only comes as a gift of being able to find the way of the way. Jesus had it, and he was different from all other people in that his body talked. His body radiated an energy field that had information in it, metaphysically to cure the mind and to cure the dark side of the force and to rescue them from their conditioning as children and that sort of thing. But the most important part of what I'm saying is this: if you're married and you're yoked to another person, you just can't walk away like you can anywhere else. You walk out of a bar, you can walk out of a hotel, you can walk out of a job if you want to. But you can stay in the job and become brighter and brighter and brighter. And then somebody sees how bright you are and then wants to see you. In other words, you start to show up as being stable, honorable, strong. This is the man I want, or the woman I want in my business. Trials and tribulations. Or you could have a boss that is no damn good. And so he's doing all these bad things, and you have a friend of yours who sees it. I'm just making something up so you can hear the point. And they say, listen, we see what's going on, the shenanigans. The people are stealing things. They're doing all these things wrong. Let's go to the boss and talk to him. Now, you could have a good boss, and he appreciates you. That's a good thing. But let's say you have a bad one, and your friend is not as strong as you, and you say, Mr. Jones, this is what's happening. And suddenly he gets angry because he wants it to happen for some reason, insurance, whatever it is. And immediately your friend cringes and joins with him. You're left alone. Happens. And you get fired. But you don't belong there. That's a good thing. See, now you've discovered where you thought might have been good, and you're doing a good deed. You find out that the people are not so bad as the boss is. He's hired those kinds of people, and you're in the way. Now, that's just making this up as I'm going along, just as a story. In marriage, it's the same thing. And in your relationships with people who you have to be around perpetually, and they keep coming. Say you're in a business and an organization, and there's people there that don't like you, and they keep looking down their nose at you, and you don't respond, and you don't respond, and all of a sudden you find them falling sick, and then you're gone. I say to you that in this world, this metaphysical world of good and evil, what's going on in the real, in the jungle where the spider eats the fly and the fly becomes the spider, you are devouring each other. And the politician gets the biggest meal. He eats all of you. He lives off of you and breathes you in. And his friends. And then an army. And then you can't do anything. See? He finds the people that go along with him and pays them to do unto others what they shouldn't do. See? And so you got to be careful of Obama because he's got an army of about a million you don't know about. As we weaken our own army, military, in time of need, where the world is closing in. He's letting murderers out, bona fide murderers, incriminated murderers. But 2,300 so far. The idea, of course, is the jails are full, but these are murderers. Why murderers? Because they're ripe for his what he's thinking about. Can't you see what he's thinking about when he does that? When he's reducing the number of soldiers and making them work harder and letting veterans die, just changing the person in charge but not changing the situation. So they're still dying. And you look on. They die for you, why don't you stand for them? You don't know how to stand up to Obama, do you? Really don't. I'm doing it. It's free speech. I want to find out if I'm living in a free country. If something happens to me, what would you do for me? Nothing. I don't expect you to come for the rescue. I don't expect it. It'll be what it be. That's what my life is about. Standing up to authority. There's no authority. The authority is in me. I will not put up with authority. The games they play. I see through them, and they see I see through them. Oh dear. Well, 800-866-8883. So, everybody I'm speaking to some degree corrupted. You know, there's good people, but they have problems, but they don't talk about them, but they're there. And you may never know them, see them. Every now and then there is a person who gets what I said, and without knowing they're different from other people. And in America, that kind of works. But there's not enough. Those of you who have been broken since childhood and sacrificed to the school system, the union school systems, and to the universities, which are left-leaning, dangerous. We won't go into that right now, but when you send your kids to those schools and universities, how can I say this? Let me start differently. In order to become one of them, your awareness must be put to sleep. And that's where it happens in school mostly. That's no wonder, you know, your kids don't like schools because they sense the injustice. And they sense the injustice not just of the school, but you. How dare you send me to the school, Mom? And then you can't learn, or whatever. Or you rebel. And in a sense, it's good to rebel. It's better than giving in. But you're left in the street without any skills. And then you're on drugs and things like that. But there's still something in you that's worthwhile. I hope you're listening. And so in order to become one of them, you give in or you rebel. You're taking a piece of them with you. They've put something in you that you don't know how to, you don't know you have. You're just angry. And then you're angry, you have to vent it, express it, and then you may go to jail. And then you become hardened in jail. It's like that. See, so first you put to sleep with anger at home, and then permanently with painkillers. And now you can see this message comes to you with an offer to help from a survivor who is neither rebel or conformist. I'm neither a rebel or a conformist. I am in the middle of it, so you can't touch me. Because you're messing with him and me. You'll be right back. And so, ladies and gentlemen, just let me continue my thought. Do you remember you, as a child, how you indeed had a good reason to resent school and parents, and perhaps, you know, in America generally was seeing what's going on. Little did you know that when you overreacted to all that injustice all around you and the crazy miseducation, you did exactly what they wanted. And slowly but surely, against your will, they began transforming you into one of them. Or one of those two who are valuable to politicians, the ones that conform and the ones that rebel. Both are wrong. Resentful sex, crazed and drugged and drunk, you fall into the permanent sleep of doubting your own sensibility from all this and trusting your sufferings to the experts of the matrix. So then, you couldn't possibly know that your rebellion and your conformity was destined to make you one of them. Unless you can stop being resentful, rebellious, or resentment becoming conformity, because it can, because you feel guilty when you're resentful, so it can turn into conformity to go along, to get along, to see if that works. You cannot escape from these two roles. It is futile. Childhood is where all that programming of the flesh began, and where the political embodiment of Paradise Lost slipped inside. And the conditioning of many is now being tested, called out to serve the spirit of that ancient body politic of bringing down America. Conversely, or converts, that's a better word, converts will fall in line with those who hated their useful, who got angry and hated their youthful innocence and lost it, and turned them against the good America that America's trying to be as a matter of history. Just as you are struggling to be who you really are, so are other Americans locked into the struggle against the now visible politics of their childhood. They're beginning to see it, but they don't know how to escape it. And they do, and there is a sort of divide going on, because there are people who see what's wrong with themselves, and there's others who see what's wrong with you for seeing what's wrong with yourself. Because you shine. Even if you can't fix it, you're still different from them. But very easily vulnerable to them, because you need to be as more virtuous than they are wicked. And the whole idea, if that's possible, which I say it is that you have to become perfect immediately. Now, what I mean by that is, whoops, you all of a sudden you see, I'm angry. Okay, you understand this. I'm going to take the caller now. I'm going to take Bob in a minute. Bob, you hold on just for a second. So it's important. What I mean by perfect means the perfect for the moment. Not perfect completely. Because that's God is perfect instantly. He knows everything instantly. No, you will know only what you need to know that instant. And let's say you've never seen your anger or you've never seen it as wrong. Either way. And then you say, oh, I see that. And anger is just irritable, annoying, I'm upset. What as good does it do me? But I see it. That is your first perfection for that moment. And the minute you see that, you're less angry. Something's changed. And as an extension of that, the next time someone's rude to you, you find yourself not being upset by it. Bang. It's a cycle. And if you kept that up every day, you become perfect. See, it becomes a verb or adverb. You're becoming perfect as your Father in heaven. Not perfect as your Father. Becoming. And that is an order of obedience and love for what's right in your heart. All right. We got Bob on the line. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
This is Roy.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend.
Well, thank you for doing what you do. I've been listening to you for many years.
Well, I hope it's been doing you some good.
Oh, yeah. So you were just saying, if you see it, and when you get angry, that's the first step.
Well, you could actually see yourself having been angry and seeing the next one coming up, and it normalizes. It reduces the intensity of it right away.
So when you get angry, just stop and look at it.
It's the wrong energy. See, the thing is, there's two kinds of energy. There's AC current, you know what that is.
Right.
And you have DC current. And DC current is a little bit, if I may say, is a little bit more mild, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, so that's just an example. So we have, in a human being, you have two sides, two metaphysical sides, good and evil. And good and evil is in the world, but it's also not of the world. Evil is not of the world, it's from some other place. But it's in the world because it's in you. And,
right.
And then you have the good person who's in the world but not of it. But because the world is not in you, you're in the world that created the world. That is a better way. And so therefore, but there is a world, there is a choice. But the choice comes thus. The choice is very simple. You're innocent when you're born. And if you're lucky, you get to be 2 or 3 years old and you begin to see your parents are hypocrites and your father is a no good and your mother is a liar. And
right.
Okay.
That's right.
So you see that. But the trouble is the injustice and your weakness because you're just a little kid. You're born. So you in that moment, you're angry with your mother. You're angry with your father. You're angry with going to school. You see all of it, but they don't see it. They send you there, and then you begin to resent the school, et cetera, et cetera.
I never liked school.
See, the thing is, though, you see, what's happening is that you are born into the culture as a country, and the country or the culture gets into you. So
right.
That you're born in Borneo, you'll be a cannibal. If you're born in Mexico, you act like a Mexican. And you're born in China, you act like a Chinese person with strange, or, you know, whatever it is strange. You start to adapt to it or rebel. Either way. And there's some places you can never rebel. You can't rebel if you're a cannibal. They eat you. Okay, don't go away. We'll be right back. 800-866-8883. We'll be right back. All right, so, Bob, can you hold the line a minute?
Sure.
I just want to say something to my audience, and I need more stations. And stations are becoming more obliging to my presence, because you can't sell me. I don't have that stink of, you know, business. So it sounds a little awkward. I offend people. But I assure you that no matter who you are, you're Rush Limbaugh, who I like, actually. And so he has people that don't love him, so it shouldn't be much of a problem for me to bring on metaphysical concepts to help you overcome your problems, because I'm able to overcome your problems better than your doctor. Yeah, 100 times better. And you'll see that if you just get a meditation called Be Still and Know, forget that one, just for the time being, you go to the website, Antidote for All. All there is a picture, this big circle, and a little pointer, like an arrow pointing. And you press the button and put your earphones on. And you can download it on your iPod and the other phone. I keep forgetting the other phone. Android, that's it. And you can take that with you, and you can send it to your friends from the app, which you carry around all the time. But if you listen to that a couple times a day, 7 minutes, there's no religion there. There's no religion mentioned. In the word "be still and know," there's no religious word, basically, except the word God. Be still and know that I am boss. I'm God. You listen to me. But if you can't find him if you don't know what still is. And that's what the tickle is here. The difficulty is, I've discovered it. No, I haven't discovered it. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. It doesn't have to be a long litany of words. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to come to see me anymore. And if you don't want to support me, you don't. If you want to be gracious, and so other people can have experiences, you do. You do whatever you want. It's got to be from your heart. It's as from my heart to your heart. You don't see me trying to... I don't like the idea of telling you this. But it's good for you if you just listen. Did I help you? How did I help you? Well, because someone, you know, paid it forward. And if it didn't pay it forward, you wouldn't have got better. So why is it difficult to understand me correcting you without begging you? It's good for you to pay it forward, don't you think? Okay. Why don't you pay it forward? You go to my website, there's ways there you can donate. And you can also call my office and give a donation. 800-877-3227. And you can also, if you like, to send a check or checks. It's the Foundation of Human Understanding is 1-800-877-3227.
With Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yeah, the devil made me do this. I wanted to give you the address so you can send a check. It's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. So, where are we going now? We're going to go to Bob here. And are you still there, Bob?
Yes, I'm still here.
Now, what is your...
talking to David earlier, and he said, what's your question? And so I had a question. I don't know how relative it is, but as getting older, I'm only about 12 years behind you, thinking about whether to be cremated or to go into a casket. I was wondering what you thought.
I just don't think you need to worry about that.
The thought came to me that it doesn't make any difference.
Well, I've got a son that wants to do something really, really weird. He wants to make sure I don't get buried 3 days to see if I come back.
Well, Jesus came back to his apostles there, and he said, "Don't come near me, though."
Yeah, I know, because it wasn't finished yet.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't like the idea of cremation. It's just not the idea.
It's a what idea?
Yeah, I think it's not a clean idea.
Not a clean idea.
Not that the other one has a whole lot better.
Well, the worms crawl in and the worms crawl out in the other one.
That's right.
But
it's not really a good subject for discussion, in my opinion.
No, it isn't, no. Well, you were talking about the little thing you put in your pocket to listen to, and I have one of those, and it is a very, very good...
Isn't it valuable? Yes.
...valuable thing, so people should buy those, because it doesn't take long, and it's easy to listen to.
Well, listen, I think I've answered your question, and I'll go on. I do appreciate your call. I think, you know, it's not really something I can answer. Now let's go to our continuous, my thoughts here. Let me see. Where did I finish off here? Let me just start again. Because this is, you know, towards the end of the hour, but still, when we have a caller, it breaks the thoughts. And so I forget where I left off. The reason why you have never seen the other self, that's the idea here, is because you didn't want to face that other self. You didn't want to face the fact that you are not your true self. We even have a colloquialism for that state of mind. We say, I'm not myself lately. I don't know what got into me. See, as I repeatedly pointed out in this program, that resentment to stress of any kind is evil. Stress is a different kind of energy that functions a monkey. A dog, a lion, an ant. Stress is for animals. That they move and have their being, and they live and die under that, because if they use stress as human beings do stress to overcome you, they eat, you get to eat them. And them, if they understand the way this stress works, will stress you into making you a nice meal, or demoralizing you and making you a slave. There's a certain caterpillar, and then there's a certain wasp lays eggs in the caterpillar while it's still alive, and the eggs materialize and they pop out one after another while the animal is still alive. In a matter of speaking, that is what evil does to you. It puts itself in you, not only itself, but maybe several others, a multiple of self, which makes it more difficult to do an exorcism, which I do. If you need an exorcism, you need to come to my Sunday morning talks. I can't come to you anymore. Not now. It's too dangerous right now. I can't give lectures because the bad guys may want to bomb that place. And it's not. I'm not scared. I'm thinking of you. 500 people come to my talks is a nice morsel for bad people. I don't mind myself, but it's you. So if you want help, you need to come up here and spend a day or two. My Sunday morning conversations are 2 hours, and maybe three, depends on how big the audience is. I like doing them. So I suggest you do that, because you're carrying bits and pieces of something else. See, and something is eating on you, eating away on you. And there are some people who enjoy. As Shakespeare once said, the good die young for interesting reasons. They have to put up with a lot of crap, and they don't know how to do it, and they die. But, you know, I don't think God will punish those people for not being able to find him, but just wanting to find him. The thief on the cross was a very good example. There was two kinds of thief. One enjoyed it, mocked him while he was, mocked Jesus while he was on a cross. And the other one says, you know, forgive me, Father, for that. Didn't know what I was doing. This man is innocent. He recognized it was enough. God is very just. So don't be frustrated. I can make it easy for you. On a cross or not on a cross. All right, we're going to take another call. Now we got Dwayne in Michigan? Where all the Michiganers are. Okay, hello, Wayne.
Hello, Mr. Masters.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, I've meditated for over 38 years, as you teach it.
Yes.
And I've said before that I mentioned it to your son that saved my life when I came home from Vietnam.
I remember. You've called before, haven't you?
Recently, yes. We've had a mission, a four-day mission at our church.
Yes.
It was 2.5 hours every night.
Yes.
And seeking the Holy Spirit, because the ancient writings say that the Holy Spirit shall lead you into all righteousness and truth.
Of course.
And
of course. I,
from my meditation, I connected up with what the deacon was talking about. And for years, hopefully I can say this on the air, for years I have been a masturbator, meditator.
Yes.
And I had sexual problems for many, many years with both my wives. And this past week, seeking God's face and his stillness and seeking the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that when you were a child, the way you were abused and you had to live, that was your only escape. And that
I forgive
you.
That's correct. That's correct.
And that all went to the feet of the cross.
Yes.
And I just... all these years I've meditated for that. That was part of why I've meditated all these years.
That is the last thing. That is the first and last thing to go.
That's interesting. Well, I can tell you this. I haven't had that trouble in a number of years, but I still never understood my part in it. And when I understood this past week my part in it, a forgiveness came over me.
That's right.
That I've never experienced in my life.
Beautiful.
And I don't care anymore about my dad or the past, all that. I see mechanically what had happened to a 7-8-year-old boy and realized how I carried that for years and amplified it.
Yes.
Because that's all I knew at that point.
Yes.
And it took years of being still. I don't want to discourage anybody.
The pleasure of the sex became addictive until it was destructive.
Yes, and it was an avenue that a 7-9-year-old boy, I had nothing to turn to.
Yes,
I had a dad who was wicked and beat us and stuff. I had nothing to turn to, and I turned to that.
Yes.
But when a neighbor showed me about that, and I carried that through the years and amplified that through the years until Holy Spirit freed me of that.
You do my heart good, you know, my friend.
I wouldn't be alive today. Jesus Christ, hear me. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't what comes through the window in your soul, my friend. you've been a lifesaver to me through the years. I'm 70 years old. I never really had a dad. You were the dad I never had. So I just encourage any of your listeners to support the foundation, because I still do. And it's been a marvelous thing, not just for me, but for other people in Michigan that I know that through the years have talked to you.
You know something, though? I would like to say something to you that may help you understand that you're not different. The way you can tell a person, a child has been beaten and broken, violated, is they masturbate even when they're 5 years old. And even little girls will do that. That's the sign that they've been violated, because it's the only pleasure they have.
Yeah,
it awakens that sickness. Anger awakens all the five senses, especially six. When Adam said he saw he was naked, what did he see? He awakened the sexual all the sexual apparatus and all the senses were awakened like an animal.
Oh,
and there's the conflict.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful interpretation.
I'm glad
of that.
You brought it up.
I would offer this to you, that through the years that I've been free to that, I have a habit when it comes to my mind mentally that I cross myself, because I'm Catholic, in memory of the Christ and what have you. And every once in a while I'll get a strange look from somebody in the parking lot or something. But in my brain, I'm just so thankful to be free from that. I can't tell you. And I can't tell you, as I said before, the part that you've had in it and the foundation has had in it. And I someday hope to come out to Oregon to visit. And
I'd love to visit.
Maybe
you.
Someday, maybe someday soon.
I would love that.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, I pray for you and I support you financially. And I just wanted to share that with you tonight, because that was one of the most tremendous blessings in my life.
But you see how beautiful it is. You began to see it for yourself. I didn't have to tell you that. You see how beautiful it is that my part's done and God now rules over you. That's beautiful.
Well,
it was a nice evening for myself. It really is a nice evening. Thank you for the treat.
Yeah. Good night, my friend. I love you and your family.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye. That's nice. I enjoyed that. Okay. Okay. Would you like to call me at 800-866-8883? Would you also be thoughtful? Have I helped you? Something similar to this gentleman who was a Vietnam veteran. I just remember that. And so he brought that home with him, and it saved his life. And then he was able to see for himself everything else. I don't want you to see, I'm not a person, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a rabbi. I'm just an ordinary man doing extraordinary things, which you can do. And I just, the miracles, I could tell you miracles, you won't believe me. I've discovered God is, you know, just let me close the program in a sort of a lighthearted way. I just remember just, you know, at the beginning of the war, before I went into the military myself, I got to do something. I would read, the bombs fell, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I had an encyclopedia and I read that. That was didn't do too good. But I took up magic. And so I liked that magic. I liked the fact, oh, how did you do that? But that turned into me as a sort of an artificial magician producing artificial magic. I began to see that there's a universe, there's a magician. And so it comes to me every now and then when it didn't before, just recently, he turns water into wine. The only thing I can do is turn wine into water. I mean, even that's a miracle, if you don't mind me saying so. I don't drink wine. So, but the point is, there's magic. You can't explain the universe except that there's a creator that you can't comprehend. But he is comprehending in my head. There is a validation in me saying, look, this is how I made this. So it caused me to want to write a book on physics. I did. It's better than anything you've ever seen, if I may say so myself. All right, we'll be right.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So let me just discuss the last 10 minutes, 5, 7 minutes. I've been talking about the extremes being of love and hate, which are both deleterious and cannot possibly bring forth the good and express the real you. Forgive the redundancy, please. But you really need to see the seriousness of being angry and give in, and being angry and getting other people to give in to you. Whether you rebel or conform, you cease being a threat simply because you're actually becoming one of them. And they will either love you or use you. Or they will degrade you to be more of them. And the more they upset you, the more sick you are, the more you try to cry to appease. You go along to get along, and you die piece by piece. And you can only way you can restore yourself and live a bit longer is take it out on somebody weaker than yourself, and therefore you can live a little longer. But you have to destroy somebody, and we do it to others. We do unto others what was done unto us. And Jesus says, do unto others as you would have. And you don't know what that is. And this, I will help you with this. If I can help you with this, I can cure the whole country. Because we're all doing it to each other. And the trigger is the White House to create crisis and then give a solution to the crisis that's worse than the solution is worse than the cure is worse than the disease. So when you're really not to be proactive or reactive, in order to free you, you must disobey the impulse to respond. This can only be accomplished by realizing that resentment and being upset is disobedience to the divine nature within yourself. You are being tested to see to whom you belong, to the world or to God, of this creation within you. Therefore, overreacting is evidence of sin. Stress is an animal thing. And the counter-stress is serene and perfect protection against everything. Trials and tribulations. So everything doesn't go right. So what? It's just tries me. I don't have to make things everything right. Things go wrong. But that wrong is a test. Do I get frustrated? No. Because I have to stop there and learn not to react to it, not get upset with it, and then one day it goes away and I'm on my journey again, but better than I was before. So, therefore, overreacting is sin. And you can't help yourself because you're born into it and it's got into you. I want to take the boy out of the country. As well as taking the country out of the boy. And that is my business, is what I do best in my last 88 years. I was born for this. And you can't go to school and learn this. You can read my books. and pamphlets and listen to my lectures. That's valuable. It may take a little while, but the minute you start to begin, you become valuable. The first day, valuable. Things start to change immediately. After 7 minutes of meditation, I will show you how it's done. Go to FHU.com and download it. You can take the app there. Or you go to, if you just want to go to a website with nothing on it except that, you may want to take your friends there. Say, well, you recommend it. You don't have to say, oh, it's Roy Masters, because that bell has been ringing for a long time. I didn't have a media. You've got the media. It's the fourth part of government. And the media is a bloody bunch of liars. And that's what's been happening over the years. It's about time we woke up. It's about time you woke up to the fact that both parties are compromised. You don't need those buggers. See? They'll own you one way or the other. Devil will own you one way or the other. So the only possible way to conquer that obedience to temptation is through salvation, which is available by crossing over to the other side. How do you do that? I always compare it with the Berlin Wall. Just trying to think. The Berlin Wall between ugly Russia and freedom on the other side. How difficult it was to get across. But this is not difficult. I just need to show you where the address is. I have a special way of doing it. It's called be still and know. That's part of it. But the simplest part, all I ask for you is to do. It will cure half of you at least at once. It won't cure you. It will bring you to the cure, which is within you. It's bringing you to the Creator. He created you. He can fix you. Your doctor can't. It just take pieces out as if it was curing you. You're dying from eating too much, and you there's two killers. You're going to die from cancer, or you die from diabetes. And it's a horrible death either way. Horrible. So, even good food can kill you. Food meant to be good. And also, truth kills. Truth, if practiced properly, is invulnerable. I want to give you just a quickie. It's only got a few minutes. It's too late. I want to talk about who draws first blood. The first blood is the person who attacks you. But if it doesn't bother you, you get first blood. It doesn't strike. The goodness in you affects them, not without you knowing, without you feeling anything. Please support the program. Thank you. Okay, we'll be right back. I'll give you some information how you get home. All right, here we are again. So let me give you my office number, 800-877-3227. And that's business hours, but there's also very valuable people who pick up the phone after business hours, operators, yes. And then there's address, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Foundation of Human Understanding, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 95 7528. I'm sorry about that. I get technical. All right. And then there's the phone number, 800-877-3227. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you for your support.